Romans chapter 10. Beginning with verse number 13. Scripture says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, I ask for your help. Guide me and help me to speak the words that you would have me to say. Bless your people this morning. Help us to be receptive to the word, obedient to it. And if there's any lost, we pray for them to be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. November is missions and stewardship here at our church. We do a direct mail to all of you on a stewardship letter. If you did not receive one by email or through the mail, we need to get your address to Libby to make sure your address is correct. We put something in the bulletin each week to remind us about our giving, because the church operates by the tithes and offerings of God's people. We don't do fundraisers or yard sales or solicit money from the unsaved people of the world or just openly to people in the community, because we don't know if they're believers or not. And we've had people try to give us money who were unsaved, wicked people who we expressed to them we'd like to see them get saved and become a part of the church and give a tithe to the Lord, but that we weren't interested in taking money to do something for them or ease their conscience or something of that nature. We're not for sale. And there are unsaved people who want to be a part of a church just to have that as a little part of their life, you know, so they can tell people, that's my church. And they're willing to give large sums of money to do that when all they need to do is receive Christ as their Savior. And we begin in this passage with the way of missions. The way of missions. As a church of Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to send forth missions to the other nations who have not received the gospel message. Jesus taught his disciples to look out on the world like a field that is ripe and ready for harvest, and to pray for laborers that will go forth into the harvest and reap from the harvest. Like the psalm said, for sinful men, Christ receiveth sinful men. There's always plenty of sinners. There's always a job for us to do. That we're never going to reach the whole world for Christ. There's always going to be plenty of lost people. Our job never ends as a church to send forth missionaries and to be witnesses ourselves for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ gave His church an imperative, a command to make disciples of all nations of people. And so to do that, we need to send forth missionaries by supporting them to go to the foreign fields and take the gospel of Christ. It's God's people whom He will call to spread the gospel. Look back at Isaiah with me in chapter 6. The book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Verse number 8, chapter 6 of Isaiah. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And He said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not." Isaiah is mentioned again in the passage that we read in Romans chapter 10 on who hath believed our report. Everybody's not going to get saved. everybody you give the gospel to is not going to become believers. But only God knows who will believe and who won't believe, and our responsibility is to preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible says, "For whosoever will may come and be saved." It's God's people that are missionaries. It's God's people that support missionaries and send them to the foreign field where we cannot go. Scripture teaches that we're to give back to God a tithe of all that we have and earn, and God will bless what we have left so that it will really go farther than it would if we kept it all without God's blessings upon what we have. Malachi chapter 3 teaches this very principle. It speaks of opening the windows of heaven and pouring us out a blessing that there won't be room enough to receive. As a church, we tithe 10% of our budget to missions. If this church receives a total of $400,000 this year, then the church will immediately give $40,000 to missions. And then we gave $112,000 last year. How did we do that? Did we receive that much? No, by no means. It's because of the generosity of God's people who have a burden for missions and see the need for missionaries, who by faith give over and above their tithe to missions so that we can give more to missionaries and send more missionaries to the foreign field. It is because of the generosity of God's people. Just recently we sent $500 twice, $1,000 to help with the Syrian refugees that are leaving Syria because of internal strife there. In the foyer, on the glass stand out there that we put magazines and tracts and things in, you'll see a pictured letter from our missionaries, the Lyles, with restricted access nations of about five different churches that are benefiting or being started because of people helping with the need for the Syrian people. And these are churches in Greece and in Germany, in England, and many of these nations that allow refugees to come there where they are able to work and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the way of missions, the way we send forth missionaries, the way we support missions, by the giving of God's people. I think families that have two strong incomes can give to support what we send to a missionary in a month and help that missionary family, and many cannot afford to do that on fixed income or in poverty. But like the widow, we can all give something unto the Lord. If we do so, they carry the gospel to the foreign world. They go to places where you and I can't be witnesses, where we can't go, where we can't speak the language, or where we don't have the opportunity. I'm not young anymore. I don't know about living in a foreign field, learning a foreign language. I have a hard enough time with English. I'm from Rock Hill, South Carolina, and I can't hide that no matter where I go. Joy and I got off the airplane in Queens, New York, and spoke to some guys driving a van trying to get a ride over to the hotel, and that guy said, "Where are you from?" "South Carolina." "Yeah, I knew you was from down south somewhere." I can't hide that, and I really don't try to hide it. I'm like the old Negro fella said, "I ain't much, but I was all I got." I'm all I have, and I'm who I am. And I want to give to send missionaries, and that's the way we send missionaries, by giving through the church. Secondly, the why of missions. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 15, we see why we give to missions. First of all, God made a command to His disciples to go into all nations and preach the gospel to every creature. We have a command from God to send forth the gospel message. We also have a burden to send forth the message because God has saved us by His grace, and somebody brought us the gospel message. And we have a burden to see that everybody has an opportunity to hear the gospel so they might be saved. Paul saw the vision of Macedonia where a man said, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And he immediately knew this was God's plan, for the Holy Spirit had restricted him from going to two other places already. And now he sees this vision of a man saying, "Come to Macedonia and help us." In an indirect way, Most all of us here today are saved because the Apostle Paul went to Macedonia and took the gospel to those people. Those people came and populated the United States of America, and some came here and brought the gospel message with them to be spread. In the census of 2005, there were 336 cities in the world with a population of 1 million. Now, this year, 2013, in March, the newest census shows over 500 cities in the world with a population of 1 million. Tokyo continues to be what is considered the largest city in the world. It has 34 plus million people that live in Tokyo. Delhi, India has 22 million. Mexico City, 20 million. New York City, 20 million. Shanghai, China, 20 million. Sao Paulo, Brazil, 20 million. Beijing, China, 16 million. And you can't really give an accurate census because these cities are growing every day, both by children being born and by people moving into those cities to get work and to get away from a low-class population. Most of these foreign countries, you have two types of economy. You have the rich and the poor. You don't have a working middle class like we have here in the United States of America. And so to get out of poverty, many of those people move to the cities so they can get jobs and increase the way that they live. It takes an average of about $5,000 per missionary to send them to the foreign mission field and for them to live in support on the mission field. Some fields like the Philippines, they can get by on a little less, but some fields like Japan, it takes a lot more to live. And so it's an average of about $5,000. The why of missions is because God has commanded us to make disciples of all nations of people, because we have a burden to see other people get saved in the same way that we've been able to be saved. And because of the population growth of America, we cannot keep up with the growth of the population. The spread of the gospel, the number of people getting saved, the number of churches being established is not keeping up with the growth of the population of the world. Thirdly, the when of missions. Turn over with me in your gospel to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse number 34 and 35. Speaking to his disciples, Jesus said in verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Today is the day of missions. The harvest is already ripe. It's not one day I'm going to give to missions or one day we'll send more missionaries. Now is the opportunity. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the opportune time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. The problem in the field is the laborers are few. We are to pray for laborers to go forth into the mission field. Pray for those who are willing to go. Pray for those who are dedicated enough to go. We don't need people looking for a vacation. We don't need people looking to have a guaranteed monthly salary and go over and live the life of luxury on a foreign mission field somewhere that they visited on vacation like a paradise. We need people that are going to go over there and dig in and serve God and build churches for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our window of opportunity is right now. While we can, we need to be doing missions. The need is greater in other places than it is here in the United States. There are 80 Baptist churches in this county. Southern Baptist, Independent Baptist. 80 Baptist churches in York County. York County has a population of about 265,000 people. And there are 80 churches that are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are some others beside Baptists that are preaching the gospel also. I'm not a Baptist brider. I don't believe that only the Baptists or the church or only the Baptists are saved. Anybody can be saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ by faith in Him. But some get saved in some churches in spite of what the doctrine of their churches is, not because of it. And we know that Baptist churches still give an invitation and appeal to people to get saved and go out on visitation and spread the gospel, and there are a few others that do that as well. Over and over I hear the story from the mission field of people who got saved on the mission field who told the missionary, "Why didn't you come sooner? If you had come sooner, my mom and dad would have got saved, or some of my family, my grandparents might have got saved. If you had come sooner with the message that you brought to me, others would not have perished." The when of missions is now, because there are so many lost on the foreign fields, and that number is growing all the time. I don't want to stand before God one day and say I didn't give to missions because I wanted a newer car or I wanted a bigger house, so I kept the money for myself instead of giving to missions. Now understand, I understand and agree wholeheartedly there's a balance in giving. You've got to live, you've got to have a place to live, you've got to feed your family and all that sort of thing. I'm not in any way belittling the fact that you have to survive and you have to have enough to live off of. God deals with your heart about giving. And I believe everybody who earns an income can give back to God, and I believe God will bless them for it, and they'll have more than if they kept it all for themselves. Number four, the where of missions. To all nations, everywhere, every neighborhood, every ethnic group of people, every language, we were to start right here. When the Lord gave the commission to His disciples, He said, "Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." They were to begin right where they were in Jerusalem. And they did a bang-up job of it, didn't they? Thousands were saved in Jerusalem by the early church. And then persecution scattered them. You see, God had a plan. It was like blowing seeds from a tree. I don't know if y'all have tree roots in your yard. Trees that root up in your yard. We've got elm trees. Two or three of them in our yard. And those things will root anywhere. They root in our flower beds. They root in our driveway, in the rocks. They root in the flower box up on the porch that's got plastic flowers in it. There's elm trees rooted coming up in there. Wind blows them things everywhere. And do you know the gospel is the same way? God will blow the gospel everywhere. When persecution came upon those believers, they were scattered to all these other nations, and they took the gospel with them everywhere they went. And churches started springing up all over the place where people were getting saved and sharing the gospel. So we start right here. We start with our own family. We start in our own home. We start in our own neighborhood. We start among our own race of people. And then we spread out to our neighbors and to other races. But I want you to understand that most people want to go where people have already been. Most don't want to go where others have not gone. Paul was one who did. He said he didn't want to build on others' foundations. He wanted to go and start churches and establish works in new places. And it's important. The 1040 window on the map, many of those countries are closed because of control by the Muslim religion. And it's important they get the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the who of missions. Number five, the who of missions, and that's you and I. We are to be His witnesses. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." We are His witnesses. If we've been saved, we're a witness of salvation that Jesus Christ saves. And we ought to spread that witness as much as we possibly can. We ought to raise up the next generation of young people to understand the importance of being saved and their walk with God, and to tell others about Jesus Christ. We need to pray for laborers. We need to pray for leaders. There are countries that are closed because leaders are closed. There are places where leaders could open the door and We see in our own country restrictions happening more and more and more against Christianity. They don't even want us to go to a ball game and pray anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. Or in a town council meeting. Now, they can't stop you from praying before silently. You can pray in Jesus' name all you want to. But they can stop publicly acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ, and they've tried to do that wholeheartedly. 1 Timothy chapter 2 teaches that we're to pray for open doors and to live in peace with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also need to pray for the lost. Billions of souls are still lost. 1.4 billion in China, 1.2 billion in India. The Muslim-controlled countries have a greater death rate. Among all those nations together, 1.8 billion are 15 years old and younger. In Afghanistan alone, 42% of the population is under 14 years of age. Life expectancy there is 45 years old. One of the blessings that we have in older life is by being obedient unto your parents and by honoring the Lord with your life. You honor the Lord with your life, you know what will happen? God will keep you around. You're a fruit tree bearing fruit for Him. If you bear fruit for God, He's got a reason to keep you around to honor and glorify Him. Angola, 38% of the population is under 14. In Chad, 48% of the population. We need folks dedicated and committed who'll go and stay and tough it out and deal with the hardship. Angola, Chad, 53% of the population is Muslim. South Africa now 49%. Those that are 90% or more controlled by the Muslim religion, Afghanistan, Algeria, Azerbaijan, Bangladesh, Djibouti, Egypt, Gambia, Gaza, Iran, Iraq, Jordan, Libya, Morocco, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Tajikistan, Tunisia, and the United Arab Emirates. And I'm not by any means saying I've named them all. But they need the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And we need to pray for those nations that are closed. Many of them are shown right here today where they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need you and I to give to missions. They need you and I to pray for missionaries to go forth into the harvest field and reap the harvest while the opportunity is still there. This church has been strong in its giving, the generosity of God's people, and strong in its giving to missions. Many by faith give a gift to missions every month over and above their tithe, and they believe God will bless what they have left so that they can prosper. And my wife and I can share that we haven't gone hungry, we haven't missed any meals, we have a roof over our head and a place to live and all of that. We've found you can't outgive God. When you give to Him, He'll give back to you. When we open our little hand and give a gift to God, He opens His big hand and gives back to us. Let's stand together. Tonight, one of those we support with missions with an inner city church in Charlotte, Brother John Ike Duflesh, will be with us to speak at 6 p.m. I hope you'll come back for the 6 p.m. service tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the faithfulness and generosity of this church. We pray that You will strengthen us, that we'll be able to continue to give to missions and to support all the missionaries we're committed to. And we pray that You will increase our church so that we can give more. We ask Your blessings on those who need jobs so they'll be able to give. We ask Your blessings on the people who faithfully give now, Lord, that You'll bless them over and abundantly above more than we can ask or think. We ask You to bless this invitation now Help us to know before we leave this place that we've made a decision for you that we should make. If it's dealing with our heart about giving, if it's to receive Christ as Savior, or to surrender for the mission field, whatever it may be, deal with us now by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.